We want to welcome you to Refreshed with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refreshed is the radio ministry of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting meritassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at meritassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Happy Thursday to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in once again to 91.5 FM, WMIE, right here in Brevard County. This is Bob Arthurs coming to you on behalf of Merit Assembly of God, and you are listening to the Refresh Radio broadcast. And this is a great study that we're going to be doing on tomorrow's broadcast. I'm going to have a co-host in here with me, and so we're looking forward to that. So it's going to be a little bit different. Hopefully everything will go smoothly. But right now we are in Matthew chapter 6. We're going to get into this today. Matthew chapter 6. We have been talking about the Lord's Prayer, and so I always like to read the prayer so you know the context. In verse number 9, it says, "In this manner, therefore, pray." These are Jesus' instructions. "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." Amen. And so we have been talking about the foundation of our relationship with our Father, that we want his kingdom to come. We want to worship him. We appreciate his name. We want his will to be done on earth as it is in heaven, not just globally, but locally. And then yesterday we started talking about give us this day our daily bread. And I'll start this off by telling you that there is not just a certain amount of rationing to go around, but God has sufficient resource to meet the needs of everyone around the planet. There was a time when Moses was leading the children of Israel out of Egypt, and they were on their way to the promised land, and the people started getting hungry. This is before the manna is poured out, and Moses made a statement along these lines. He said, "God, if you emptied out all of the fish in the sea, there would be insufficient food to feed this great multitude." And yet God sustained millions of people, refugees coming out of Egypt, who were migrating back to their homeland, back to the promised land, and they did not miss a meal. He provided manna for them on a regular basis, daily basis. The manna did not dry up until after they had entered into the promised land and were able to start partaking of the produce of the land. The truth of the matter is this, that God is sufficient to meet the needs of every bird. We talked about that in Matthew chapter 6. Not only every person, but every creature on the planet, he knows how to take care of them. And so I want you to know that you are of much greater value. Our mission statement at Merit Assembly of God is restoring value spiritually and relationally, but also physically and financially. We want you to know that you are fearfully and wonderfully made, and no matter what has happened to you, your Creator, the designer and the architect of your body, your life, your mind, your spirit, he is able to restore. He is the great restorer. And so very, very, very thankful that God is able to do that. And so today I want to take you to John chapter 3, because I want to show you the heart of the Father. In verse number 16, it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." Did you pick that up on verse number 16? "For God so loved the world that he gave." In the Lord's Prayer, Matthew chapter 6, where we are instructed to pray, "Give us this day," not just mine, but corporately, "give us this day," enlarge your vision beyond your own needs to those around you. "Give us this day," today, "our daily bread." And then in John chapter 3, we see that "for God so loved the world that he gave." God is the ultimate giver. He is the ultimate giver, and he loves the world. He loves you as an individual. He loves you so much that he gave, and he did not give his leftovers. Okay, quick question, just because we want to have a little bit of fun here. How many of you, after receiving some new clothes and some new toys and some new computers or whatever for Christmas, how many of you decided that it was time to clean out some things, and you decided to take some of those old things that you had and you decided to give them away to somebody else? You kept that which was new and better, and you gave away that which was old and not quite as valuable. It wasn't quite as nice. You know, I'll be honest with you. I cleaned out my closet, but I had specifically asked for some new clothing this year. It had been a long time since I had really upgraded my wardrobe, and instead of asking for tools, there was one year where I needed tools for a restoration project that we were doing. And so I got that. And, a few years ago, I got a trip to Green Bay to see the Packers play Go Pack Go. And, I've received some nice gifts, but this year I went through and I said, you know what? I've got some things that I could afford to give away. And I know that a lot of people, they have yard sales and estate sales. One of the things that my wife and I have done through the years is we said, you know what? We've done yard sales. They're a lot of work. They're a lot of hard work. And so many times, if we know somebody that has a need that we can meet, we just go ahead and give them away rather than going through the work and trying to, you know, get something for 30 or 40 cents on the dollar. One of the things that we had at our church, and, you know, maybe we'll be able to do it again here in the near future. One time we had a yard sale at the church, and we didn't put any prices on anything. And they would come up at the end and say, "Well, how much is this?" And we said, "It's free. It's free." And some of it was nice stuff. Some of it was brand new. It had never been out of the package. Some of it was really nice stuff. And it said, how much is it? And it said, "It's free." You know, and I went around and I started telling people, "Hey, I just want you to know everything is free." And a guy said, "Do you have the authority to make that declaration?" And it's like, "Well, I'm the pastor of the church. Yes, I can tell you that everything here today that is available is free. It is our gift to you." And we were able to be a real blessing. But a lot of times we give away that which is not quite pristine in condition. There was a pastor one time that told this story, and you have to understand he's got a completely different persona than what I do. I'm not nearly as outspoken as he is, but they were starting a new church, and believe it or not, back in those days, it was a small town. It was a completely different era. And they decided that the bank, the bank was going to allow them to meet in on Sunday mornings as the place of worship. And so there was an article written in the newspaper about this church that was holding meetings in the bank. And there was a phone number in there, and the pastor got a phone call from a lady. And she said, look, my husband and I have just bought a brand new grand piano to replace our old grand piano. And we were wondering, could we donate our old grand piano to you? And the pastor said, absolutely not. But if you're willing to donate the new grand piano to our church, we will be more than glad to receive that from you. And to his surprise, and you know, I don't necessarily talk to people that way, to his surprise, a couple of days later, there was a moving van that showed up, and it had this brand new baby grand piano. And the lady said, "You know what? We realized that God had blessed us, and that our old piano was satisfactory, and we want this new piano to be used for the glory of God." I tell you that story to tell you this: God's not giving you secondhand junk. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." He gave us the treasure of heaven. And when we talk about restoring value, I want you to know value is not determined by what somebody thinks you are worth. Value is determined by what a person is willing to pay for you. And God deemed you so valuable that he gave heaven's best. He gave you God the Son, Jesus Christ. He gave himself for you. That's how valuable you are. But it also reveals to us that if he will not withhold his Son, how much more will he give to you and I? I've asked you to be praying for this week. We are going to specifically be focusing on salvation. And so we encourage you, if you need Jesus, to come and be a part of our service on Sunday. If you know somebody that needs Jesus, I don't care if they're a drug addict. I don't care if they're an alcoholic. I don't care if they're on their last breath. I don't care if they're just a child. If you know somebody who needs Jesus, I want to encourage you to come to Merit Assembly of God. We are going to preach Jesus crucified, resurrected, and ascended to the right hand of the Father. We are going to be preaching about Jesus Christ, our Savior, this week. And so if you know somebody who needs to receive the world's greatest gift, then I encourage you to be there. So I want to go on, and we're going to talk about some of the things that God has given to us. I've got five pages of material here in front of me, and it's gonna take me some focus and some interaction, some real attention to be able to get through these things. But I want to start dealing with first things first. If you have your Bible, I'm going to ask you to turn to the Old Testament this morning, Isaiah, the 42nd chapter. Isaiah, the 42nd chapter. And verse number 5, it says, "Thus says God the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread forth the earth and that which comes from it, who gives breath to the people on it, and spirit to those who walk on it. I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness and will hold your hand. I will keep you and give you as a covenant to the people, as a light to the Gentiles, to open blind eyes, to bring out prisoners from the prison, those who sit in darkness from the prison house. I am the Lord, that is my name. And my glory I will not give to another, nor my praise to carved out images. Behold, the former things have come to pass, and new things I declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them." And so the very first thing that it talks about here in the fifth verse, is this, who gives breath. It talks about the Lord, who was the creator of the heavens and stretched them out and who spread forth the earth. And then he says, who gives breath to the people on it. God is the one who gives breath and gives life to us. Man became a living being when God breathed in to man the breath of life. And so I want you to know, first of all, that if you today, you may be taking oxygen. You know, if you are in a hospital and you happen to be in an intensive care unit, you can be existing on a machine. They can have a ventilator on you and your lungs can be functioning and oxygen can be coming in and going out. But I want to ask you, is that the quality of life that you would want to have for the next 50 years? Thankful for the technology that keeps people alive so that their bodies could be made whole. But would you want that to be the permanent condition of life that you have? Just a taking in, and yet you are completely and totally bedbound. You are oblivious to everything that is going on around you. Is that the way that you would want to live? Well, I say that not to be insensitive to people who have loved ones in the intensive care unit, because I pray for them. I have prayed for my family members who were in that situation and God raised them up. There have been three relatives of mine that I have been summoned back to Oklahoma for, three relatives that they said, you need to hurry up and get here because these family members, they're not leaving the intensive care unit. They are going to die, and if you want to see them, you'd better hurry up and get here. Three different relatives, I've had that situation. We went back there. We prayed the prayer of faith. One of them lived for another 4.5 years. One of them lived for another 9 months, and the other one has already lived an additional almost 4 years as a result of that. So I am thankful for the technology that keeps them alive so that we can pray for them to be healed. But the reason that I did mention that just the taking in of oxygen is because there are a lot of people who do not realize that apart from receiving Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that is all they are doing. They are taking in oxygen and they are exhaling oxygen, and they don't realize that there is a much greater quality of life that God has for them. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Jesus is the very definition of life. Him living in your heart is the very definition of life. In fact, it talks about Adam, that when man had life breathed into him, that Adam became a living being. In 1 Corinthians, it says, but when the second Adam came, he was not just a living being, he was a life-giving spirit. That I want to show that to you. I'm gonna turn. I'm using a different Bible today, and so hopefully I will be able to find it. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Let me see. Here we go. There it is in verse number 45. I'll begin reading in verse number 39. All flesh is not the same flesh, and there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of animals, another of fish, and another of birds. There are also celestial bodies and terrestrial bodies, but the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun and another glory of the moon and another glory of the stars, for one star differs from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. The body is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. Jesus comes not only to give us breath, but to give us life. To give us life. With Jesus, when we receive him as a gift, all of a sudden, life for us has purpose. Let me take you back there. I switched back to my passage again, so I got to go back. Listen to what it says, because there was something else that was just quickened. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. However, the spiritual is not first, but the natural, and afterward, the spiritual. The first man was of the earth, made of dust. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As was the man of dust, so also are those who are made of dust. And as is the heavenly man, so also are those who are heavenly. And as we, this is what I want you to see, and as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly man. You were created by God to not only receive Jesus, who is the resurrection and the life, he is the way, the truth, and the life, he is the definition of life, he is a life-giving spirit. You were not only meant to receive him, but you were also meant to be transformed from Adam's image to the image of being a life-giving person, the same way that Jesus is. Right now, your life should be anything but mundane. It should be anything but boring. If Jesus is living in your heart, listen, it says the just shall live by faith. I believe that life is an adventure. It should be something every day that we wake up and say, okay, God, what are you going to be able to accomplish today through me? What are you going to be able to accomplish today through me? What are you going to be able to minister to the people of Brevard County through me on this radio program? God, I pray that revival comes across the airwaves, that the Spirit of the living God brings life to people who feel trapped in a dead-end job. God, I pray that instead you would cause the anointing from on high to fill their very essence, and Lord, that you would give them a joy that transforms the mundane to an adventure. I pray that God gives you ideas of how to make your workplace the best workplace that it's ever been. I'm praying. Look, we are very thankful for our history. Just this last weekend, I was teaching church history and governance at our district school of ministry, and I was teaching in the central part of the state. This week, I'm teaching the same class up in North Florida this weekend on Saturday, and we're very thankful for those who have gone on before. But one of the things that I tell that class is history is not just about the things that have gone on in the past, but we need to be history makers as well. Whatever situation you are in, allow Jesus to give you the breath, the life that is necessary to make history by causing his kingdom to come to that situation the same way that it is in heaven. God, give us today, this Thursday, the life of God. Give us what we need today to bring you glory and honor and praise. Give us today what we need to share the words of life with those around us. Give us this Thursday what we need to cause our marriage to reflect a harmonious relationship between husband and wife. Give us today what we need to impact and influence people so that they are ready to receive Jesus Christ, who is their life as well. And so I want you to know that that is a great aspect. It is a great gift. God is the one who gives you breath, and he gives life. It's his desire that every person walking on the planet, that they experience that life. He is the giver of life. I'm going to take you back to John, the fifth chapter, the Gospel of John, the fifth chapter, and verse number 16. It says, "For this reason, the Jews persecuted Jesus and sought to kill him because he had done these things on the Sabbath. But Jesus answered them, 'My Father has been working until now, and I have been working.' Therefore, the Jews sought all the more to kill him because he not only broke the Sabbath, but he also said that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Then Jesus answered and said to them, 'Most assuredly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do, for whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner.'" By the way, that is a great recipe for life. Instead of asking God to bless what we're doing, why don't we ask God to reveal to us what he's doing? And we say, "God, can I please be involved in what you're doing?" Anyway, back to verse number 20. "For the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he himself does. And he will show him greater works than these, that you may marvel. For as the Father raises the dead and gives life to them, even so the Son gives life to whom he will." I want you to know that Jesus gives life to those he's pleased to give it to. And here's what the Word of God says: God does not want any to perish, but all to come to everlasting life. And some people have asked me about that verse, and they said, "Does that mean that God doesn't want anybody to ever die?" Well, death was never part of the plan, but what that's talking about is an eternity separated. Death means a separation. Physical death means separation of our physical body from life. Spiritual death is separation of our spirit and our soul apart from God, whom we were designed to have fellowship with. Jesus wants you and I to have life. Today could be the launching pad of a fantastic life-filled year. You know, isn't it interesting? A lot of people, whenever you start announcing that babies are being born, people get real excited. My goal, you know, I've shared, we're preaching on this weekend. Our goal is that this year that there are spiritual babies being born, and that the church will be filled with life. Father, I pray that over the next few days, you will transform people's lives and give them eternal life. In Jesus' name, we'll see you tomorrow here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510, 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."